Please rise and join us in worship this morning. Great is your faithfulness, O God. You wrestle with the sinner's restless heart. You lead us by still waters into mercy. And nothing can keep us apart. So remember your people, remember your children, remember your promise, O God. God of Jacob, you use the weak to lead the strong. You lead us in the song of your salvation, and all your people sing along. So remember your people, remember your children, remember your promise, O God.
Father God, Lord Jesus, we thank you for your love. We thank you for the love that you have bestowed upon us, Lord. God, we thank you for the strength that you give us and the peace and the joy that you give us, God. Lord, we know that we cannot do anything on our own. God, we need you to grant us the strength to carry out your will, Lord. We need you in the good times and the bad times. It is not just in the bad times that we need you, Lord, but even when we're joyful, God, we need you all the time. There is nothing we can do on our own, Lord. God, we pray that you just would work through us today and tomorrow and forevermore.
Upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day, still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground.
ushers would please come forward. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for all of the gifts and all of the blessings that you have given us, Lord. Once again, we know that none of it is of our own doing, Lord, but everything that we have is from you, God, and we thank you for all of these blessings, Lord. And we want to take what you have given us and give some of it back, 100% devoted to you, God. And we pray that you just would take it and multiply it, Lord, and do great things with it, perform miracles with it, God, and just further your kingdom here on this earth. Amen.
Spirit of the living God, Spirit of the living God, we only want to hear your voice. We're hanging on every word. Spirit of the living God, Spirit of the living God, we want to know you more and more. We're hanging on every word. 'Cause when you speak, when you move, when you do what only you can do, it changes us, it changes what we see. And what we seek when you come in the room, when you do what only you can do, it changes us, it changes what we see. And what we see. Changing everything, Lord. Spirit of the living God, Spirit of the living God, we're leaning into all you are. Everything else can wait. Spirit of the living God, Spirit of the living God, come now and breathe upon our hearts. Come now and have your way. 'Cause when you speak, when you move, when you do what only you can do, it changes us, it changes what we see. And what we see when you come in the room, when you do what only you can do, it changes us, it changes what we see. And what do we see? It changing everything, Lord. And when you what we see. And what do we see when you come in the room, when you do what only you can do, it changes us, it changes what we see. And what do we see? Spirit of the living God, Spirit of the living God, we only want to hear your voice. We're hanging on every word.
Would you join me in prayer? Holy Spirit, would you come? Because it is our desire that we would hear your voice this morning. We come against every competing voice in the name of Jesus, command you to silence, so that we might hear from the Spirit of God only. Holy Spirit, come to help us to see the truth of your word so that we might seek you in a deeper and more profound way. Father, change us, move in us, as we come to your word together. Thank you for the privilege of singing praises to your great name. We worship and adore you in Jesus' name. Amen. So thank you, worship team, for leading us this morning. And for all of you this morning, normally at this time we say the children are dismissed to Children's Church, but Family Sunday, so we're all staying here together today. And Cub Scout Sunday, we're glad, again, for all those visiting with us. Invite you to open a Bible if you have one. If you have it on a phone or a tablet or whatever you may have, that's game as well to do that. To open to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy is one of those smaller ones, so if you find the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and then Acts, Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians, you'll run into some small books, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 2 Thessalonians, and 1 Timothy. And you're all glad that we're not in Revelation, and I had to quote all the books of the New Testament. So, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, one verse is where we're going to be at. And talking on this Family Sunday and Cub Scout Sunday, a message to the young. So, Chuck Colson, pastor and author, in his book, Living Above the Level of Mediocrity, he had a section where he listed the ages and contributions of the following people. So listen to these. Some of you, you may know. Some of them may be people that are maybe not as familiar. But if you're a baseball fan like me, you'll know the first two. Ted Williams, at age 42, slammed a home run in his last official at-bat. Now, if you're not a baseball fan, 42 may sound like, boy, that's a young guy. In baseball terms, that's an ancient guy. 42, and in his last at-bat, Ted Williams slammed a home run. On the flip side, the great Mickey Mantle, at age 20, his first season in baseball, hit 23 home runs. And if you're a fan of baseball, you know just how hard it is to hit 23 home runs at any time, let alone in your first year as a player. Golda Meir, who was 71 when she became the prime minister of Israel, and William Pitt II, when he became Prime Minister of Great Britain, was 24. 71, 24. George Bernard Shaw was 94 years old when one of his plays was first produced. Imagine, he did not retire. He kept going. 94 when one of his plays was first produced. And on the flip side, the great Mozart was just 7 years old when his first composition was published. Imagine that. 7 years old when his first from 94 to 7. And Benjamin Franklin, he got his start as a newspaper columnist when he was 16 years old. And he became a framer of our United States Constitution at 81. So what was Colson's point? Colson's point, he said, was this, that you're never too young or too old to contribute if you've got talent. I think that's a pretty good conclusion, that no matter your age, you're never too young and you're never too old to contribute if you've got talent. You know, it's been said, you may have heard this, that children should be seen and not heard. You heard that? Children should be seen but not heard. Friends, I want us to realize this morning and remind us that children have a voice and a contribution to make, not just when they grow up, but right where they're at today. How sad a perspective it is that kids should be seen but not heard. Children, youth, have a voice today and a contribution that can and should be made, irregardless of their age. So young people today, realize that God has a voice that he has given to you. Realize that he has given you gifts and talents and abilities that he has given to you, and they're to be used. And so that all the rest of us don't just decide, well, this is a message to the young, so I'll check out. There's a message for all of us in this. There's a message to all of us in that in your older, it is our responsibility too to be able to put the youth in a place where they can use their voice and where they can use their contribution. For all of us, there's a message of good news this morning. So whether you're one of the young ones or whether you're one of the older ones, and I'll let you determine which age group you fall into, for all of us today, there's a good word for us, I believe the Lord has for us. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. One verse we're going to look at, and this is the Apostle Paul writing to a young man named Timothy. Timothy was a protege of the Apostle Paul, traveled with him many places. Apostle Paul sent him, despite his age, to deliver messages and to work through situations on his behalf. And the books of 1 and 2 Timothy are written to Timothy as he is preparing to go and as he goes to pastor a church in the city of Ephesus, a church that Paul had started but had been running through some difficult times. No one knows exactly how old Timothy was, but it's believed that he was probably in his early 20s or so, somewhere in there. At that age and that stage was a very young person to be able to be doing something so significant for the early church. When I first started in ministry, I held on to the experiences of Timothy, because when I first started in the church that we were at, right out of seminary, pastoring a church, I was 25 years old, pastoring a church. And I related much along the lines of Timothy, because those who were in the leadership of our church averaged well over double my age. So you can imagine I held on to the words that the Apostle Paul gave to Timothy. No matter how old you are, there's a good word for us this morning. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12 says this. Paul says to Timothy, "Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity." Sermon notes are in your bulletins if you want to fill in, and there'll be some extra things that if you choose to write, you can add that will be on the screen. Two main thoughts this morning. First, for the message to the youth, don't let anyone look down on you. So for all those who consider themselves young today, don't let anyone look down on you. So why? Why not? Why should we not? Well, the answer to the question, why not? Why should we not let anyone look down on you? I would ask that we would answer that question with another question, and that other question is, am I enough? Am I enough? So walk with me as we think through, why should we not let anyone look down on you if you're young, and why should those who are older not look down on the young? Why not? Well, we need to answer the question with a question, am I enough? And I believe this question, am I enough, no matter how old we are, is a question that we all struggle to answer. This is where it's a word for all of us. Because we live in a world that is constantly bringing us to have to answer this question, am I enough? Because we live in a world that is constantly measuring how we are doing. So for all of the children today, how many of you took PSSAs over the last couple weeks? Yeah. How many of you liked taking PSSAs? Ooh, Andrew, all right, good, Andrew. All for that. Way to go, way to go. So there is this reality. For those of you that don't know, the PSSAs are Pennsylvania state tests. All states have them, government, education focused, to be able to measure at different age levels how children are doing and how schools are doing. It's a measuring test to be able to see the performance of students on this test. Can easily lead you to that question, am I enough? How many play sports? All right, good. So I think all the children are playing sports. That's great. When we play, we win or we lose, right? There's always that message that can come out of, am I enough? Did I do well enough in that game? How many play an instrument? All right. Yeah. Some, not as many. All right. When we play an instrument, there's always that question, where we're seated, how well are we doing? Am I enough? In our friendships, we ask that. We have the Cub Scouts, you have the merit badges, right? That's what we call them, right? Merit badges. Yeah, you earn those along the way, and those can show us and can contribute to that question of, am I enough? Even our age, asking how old are we, can lead us to ask that question, am I enough? Now, for those of us that are older, we ask that same question, though it's built around different scenarios. Things like, how much money do I have in my portfolio, or how much money do I make? Sometimes it can easily show value. We can have value attached to it of, am I enough? The job that you have, the level of success that you have or have had in that job goes to contribute to that question, am I enough? Our social status, do we know the right people? Are we in the right echelon? Can determine for us, am I enough? How our kids or how our grandkids are doing, and even how old am I, can answer that question for us, am I enough? The reality is, if we do well in these things, we answer, yes, I'm enough. If we don't do well in those things, we often will answer, I'm not sure I am enough. And it leaves us wondering, no matter how old we are, no matter how much struggle we have or how much success, deep down that question there is true for all of us. Am I enough? Well, I want you to turn to a neighbor this morning and tell them this. The answer to this question is Jesus. So turn to a neighbor and say, Jesus is the answer. All right. Jesus is the answer to the question, am I enough? Because here's the reality, and this is bad news. On our own, you and I will never be enough. Now, that can be kind of depressing, right? Yeah. I love it. Thanks, Ethan. You and I, that is a depressing thing, that in and of ourselves, you and I will never be enough. We will never perform well enough for others. Someone will always be better in some way, shape, or form than we are. You're going to get an answer on a test wrong. You're going to strike out at bat. You're going to hit a wrong note on your instrument. You're going to not treat a friend well. You're going to struggle to earn a merit badge. And the list goes on and on and on. There will always be the message to us in some way, shape, or form, I'm not enough. And before a holy and perfect God, the message of the Bible is that we will never be able to do enough to be accepted by Him. We will always fall short because He is perfect and we are not. But I want you to turn to your neighbor again and say that same thing. Jesus is the answer. Because we celebrated last week with Easter and resurrection, we celebrated the fact that Jesus, the perfect Son of God, came to this earth and He is enough. So turn to a neighbor and say, Jesus is enough. And because Jesus is enough, because He is the perfect Son of God, because He lived a perfect life on this earth and went and died a cruel, horrible death on a cross, that the one behind me is much prettier than the one He died on. And upon Him was all of our not enoughness placed upon Him, all of our sin, all of our failures, all of our shortcomings. Jesus took it all on Himself. And on Easter Resurrection Sunday, was raised back to life after dying on that cross to say He is enough. He is the perfect one who paid for all of our shortcomings, all of our sins, all of our failures, all of our guilt, all of our shame. He's the perfect one that overcomes death. He is the one who is enough. Is that good news? See, you and I, me first, I will never be enough and you will never be enough, but Jesus is enough. And by placing our faith and our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior and as our Lord, he does something amazing. He says we are enough. He makes us enough before God the Father in heaven. He makes us enough. Even when we fail or come short or somebody does something better than us and we say, am I enough? Jesus says, in me, you are enough. Isn't that good news? The good news is, with Jesus, the answer of the question, so why should we not let anyone look down on us? Because Jesus says that we are enough in him. See, if we build our identity, if we build our value, if we build anything on our performance, on our success, we will always come short, and there will always be that nagging question that says, am I enough? And the answer that will be in our minds will be no. But in Jesus, he says, you are enough. Because he makes us enough. So, for all those who are young, we don't let anyone look down on us because Jesus says you are enough. Because Jesus says you are able. Because Jesus says in him, you're good. And for all of us who are older, because Jesus makes all those who are his enough, we must look at all people, the young included, as valued contributors. We must honor them. We must lift them up. We must give them places to be able to serve and have a voice, not because we think it's a good idea, but because Jesus says they are enough. So we want to be on board with what Jesus says, of who Jesus has made them to be and who Jesus would make us to be, more than enough. There's a great song by a group called Mercy Me, and the title of the song is Best News Ever. So take a listen, take a look. It's about 3 minutes long. Rejoice as you hear this good news, Best News Ever by Mercy Me.
Some say don't give up and hope that your good is good enough. Head down, keep on working. If you can earn it, you deserve it. Yeah. Some say push on through. After all, it's the least that you can do. But don't buy what they're selling. Couldn't be further from the truth. What if I were the one to tell you? News ever. Some say don't ask for help. God helps the ones who help themselves. So press on, get it right. Otherwise, get left behind. Yeah. Some say he's keeping score. So try hard, then try a little more. But hold up, if this were true, explain to me what the cross is for. So warm.
So whether you're young, in the middle, or older, that is the best news ever. That Jesus makes you enough. It's not about your striving, earning, or deserving. It's about him. He makes you enough. We're going to talk about in a moment what, because of the fact that he makes us enough, the second half of that verse. But I don't want to assume today that you've allowed Jesus and you've received that best news ever personally in your life. And just want to pause for a moment and just give you an opportunity to respond to Jesus, whether for the first time or just to say if you have responded to him and received him making you enough, just to take a moment and say thank you for all of us. But if you've never received what Jesus has done on the cross, if you've never turned away from your trying to be enough to trusting in him to be enough for you through what he did on the cross and the resurrection, just to give you a moment, I'll just say a short prayer. There's not a magic formula, but you can just repeat this prayer to the Lord. It's your heart attitude. And if you've already received this from the Lord, just take these moments just to celebrate and to say thank you that Jesus has made you enough. So join me in prayer, and then we'll continue on looking at this one verse. Jesus, I thank you that you are enough, that you're the answer to the question, am I enough? Because you are enough. I confess that I'm not enough in myself, and that I'll never be able to be enough to be accepted by you. But I thank you that you gave your life for me, and that you were raised to show you're enough. I stop trying to be enough on my own. I confess that I sin and that I fail. But I thank you that you are the one who makes me enough. I receive you as my Savior and my Lord, the one who makes me enough. Thank you for your great love for me, for dying in my place. And thank you that you are alive. My trust is in you. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm not going to make a big scene out of this or anything, but if you prayed that prayer and you received Jesus making you enough for the first time, I would just encourage you to just let me know after, because we want to celebrate and talk more about what it means to allow Jesus from here on out to be your more than enough every day. Second part of this message this morning, a message to the young, but as you can see, it's a message really to all of us too. Message to the young, don't let anyone look down on you. Because you are young, because Jesus makes you enough, here's what we do. Set an example for others. On Cub Scout Sunday, you've seen this before, probably if you've been as Cub Scouts, the Cub Scout oath, on my honor, I'll do my best to do my duty to God and my country, to obey the Scout law, below the Scout law, we'll look at that, to help other people at all times, to keep myself physically strong, mentally awake, and morally straight. You guys have experience with that? Yep. You've seen that other section, the bottom section, the Scout law. A Scout is, let's all say them together. Ready? Thrifty, brave, clean, reverent, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly. These are values, right? These are values of what it looks like to be a Scout. These are the ways in which you live. I think we'll see that the Bible says much of the same kind of thing. The Bible has values that the Apostle Paul tells Timothy to live because Jesus makes him enough. So don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, Paul says to Timothy, but instead set an example for others in these five ways. The first way, in speech. Paul says, because Jesus has made you enough, speak life with the words that you speak. We live in a world where words are used to destroy, where words are used to tear down and to build yourself up. But Paul says, and the example that we are to set with our lives is that we would use our words to encourage others, to lift them up when they are down, to affirm the good that we see in them. The scriptures say that in our words is the power of life and death. We want to use our words to speak life. So set an example first in what? In speech. Use your words to speak life to others. Second area, in speech, and secondly, in life. Set an example for others in life, of bringing life literally to the world through the deeds that you do. So because Jesus has made you enough, you can join him in what he is doing in the world around you and in the people around you. Does that sound like a pretty awesome opportunity? That Jesus is at work in the world today. God is at work in the world today. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says that those who have been made enough by Jesus, that God has prepared works in advance for them to do. That's pretty cool. That there are things that each and every one of us, God has uniquely prepared for you to do. So in your life, look to join Jesus, look to join God in the works that he has for you to do, to bring life to this world, to bring hope to this world, to bring his presence, his goodness to this world. And he will give you the strength and the power to be able to do it. So how do we do it? We set an example for others in speech and in what? In life. With the word, with the actions, the deeds that we do. The first one's about our words. The second one's about our deeds. The third area to set an example is in love. In love. It's loving friends and enemies alike. Now, because Jesus makes you enough, his love that he gives to you enables you to love others in the same way. So at school or in the workplace or in your family, those friends that you have that you get along with really well, love them well. Look not for what they can do for you, but look first for what you can do for them, because that is the way God's love is, an others-centered love first. But Jesus said that the way we really know that Jesus has made us enough is not just by loving those who love us, it's by loving those who don't love us, by loving our enemies. Because that's the mark of a love that is not from us, it's a mark that is a love from God. You know, we live in a world that is so polarized, don't we? You have two extremes in this world, usually on about every issue. And rarely do those two extremes find a common ground. What if the people of God, what if those who Jesus has made enough were able to value and love people in such a way that they were able to meet in the middle despite differences and to share the love of Jesus? I think this world would be a little bit better, don't you? So for the young and for all of us, we can set an example in our speech, in our life, and in what? Our love. The fourth area that we can set an example for others, for the young, to set an example is in faith. See, because Jesus makes you enough, you don't have to try to be God's friend. You now just to grow, get to grow as God's friend. When Jesus makes you enough, you don't have to earn his friendship. He's already given it to you. Now, as friends, we just get to know him better and better. That's why one of the reasons that we come to church, to be able to get to know God better. It's why we read a Bible every day, if we can. It's why we spend time in prayer, because it's through those things that God is able to help us to learn more about him and to grow in our faith, to become better and better friends with God. And it's a great privilege for all of our lives we can get to know God better and better through Jesus. So Jesus makes us enough that we would grow in our faith, but there's another aspect to faith, and that's being faithful. Being faithful to the responsibilities that we have, whether it's in our job or in our homework or in our chores around home, being faithful and obeying our parents, whatever it may be, that part of setting an example is for people to be able to look and say, wow, they really do well and take care well of their responsibilities, their schoolwork, their jobs around the house, all of those things. So we can set an example in what? Speech and life